Dr. Greg Glover to this pulpit. Ask him to share the word of the Lord with us here again today. We're so thankful all of you are here and some of you watching online. We're glad for that. But most important, we're thankful the Lord is here and we want to honor his word.
Amen.
Amen. The hearer a message? Yes. To hear what the man of God has to say, yes. But certainly to let the Lord do a work in our lives, amen, and to bring us closer to him. Thank the Lord.
You may be seated. What an emotional slideshow that was. And the stories behind the pictures and all of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done in these lives, in this couple, 50 years, bringing them together. It's very, very amazing that the Lord has chosen people to go in certain places for certain reasons. And I'm very, very thankful that God chose my parents in Alaska and then ultimately to come to Sterling, Alaska. And I'm very thankful that we have, in that time, gotten to meet so many good, great, lifelong friends, and many of our lifelong friends are here in this room, and we love you and thank you, and we do not like to see you get older. That's a problem that I have is life and getting older. I don't like it. I don't like looking at people that I admire and love and watching them get older. You just can't help but worry. And you just can't help but be thankful for what God's done in your life, in all of these different lives. And I'm thankful for Jesus Christ here today. And if you have your Bibles, why don't you go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and we'll just read a verse and we'll try to make sense of it. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to do something very, very awesome. God is a God that works. Many, many different ways he works. But there is, I believe, such a majesty, such a weight of glory that I believe that God is going to reveal himself in. And I'm looking forward to it. And it'll just be a few moments. But I got to say, I love my family so much and love all my family so much. Matthew 26 and verse number 32, here's what the Lord said to his disciples. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I think that's pretty awesome. You can go ahead and be seated. It's not very close, really. Galilee and Jerusalem. Ultimately, at this point in time in Scripture, like places like Acts chapter 9 in the 30s, and I believe maybe even Luke 17, somewhere there, it's three regions Israel's broken up into at this point in time, and Galilee is one of them. Samaria, Judea, and you've got Galilee. And it's at least 3 days. It's going to be a three-day journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. This is the night, the Passover night. This is the end of Passover. This is the beginning of a new covenant. This is literally in his blood, his death. When you talk about the blood of Jesus, the Bible's talking about his death. So here in his death, he told the people, there's a new covenant, a new testament that is in my blood. It's in my death. And Hebrews 10 tells us that for him to establish that second covenant, there had to be a cease and desist order on the first. And so it's in one moment, in one death, it is going to be the end of the old covenant. It is going to be the initiation and the dedication of the new covenant. We're here celebrating Passover. But Passover is not just a night. It would be the week of unleavened bread. And that is quite the celebration. You read about that celebration throughout the scriptures. And there were times in their history when they celebrated, they wanted to continue celebrating. And so they would add another 7 days to a celebration. They did that at the dedication of the temple. That was the Feast of Tabernacles, and they added 7 days. They did the same with Purim, and they added. God isn't afraid for people to add to celebration. He never said, don't stop feasting. I'm not into feasting. He told them, stop fasting. I'm not into fasting. Get rid of your fast. But he said, continue your feasts. But here, it's an end. And so he tells them in this moment after he had quoted from Zechariah and said, smite the shepherd that we just heard about. Thank you, Sister Denny. And the sheep will scatter. He relates himself to being the shepherd, and the disciples are the sheep, and they will scatter. And it's in that moment that he says, but I'll meet you. I'm going before you into Galilee. I'll meet you in Galilee. Here they are in Jerusalem. And they are in an unknown house, in an unknown upper room, in an unknown location in Jerusalem. And that's where every God-fearing Jew would be at this moment in time on Passover. And so that the whole place is filled with people that have come for this feast. And Passover is related to Exodus, the night that they came out of Egyptian bondage. And the night that the Lord put judgment on the Egyptians and also their firstborn and their gods. And he brought them out of Egypt. And they came out so quickly they didn't have time for their bread to get leavened. And so it's an unleavened feast. No leaven at all to be found in your house for that whole week as you celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But he told them, I'm going to meet you in Galilee in just a couple of days. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact that our God, who, according to this great book, Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 1, gives us the book of Genesis, the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in this great book, he is going to be fulfilling two different roles, and one is going to be pictured in Solomon, the other one pictured in Isaac, son of Abraham, son of David. Ultimately, the Genesis of Jesus Christ is leading us to a place where there is no exclusion between Gentile and Jew. There's no one type against the other type, but it's everybody, everywhere. It's God's glorious good news. And the good news means every single human being is a candidate for his salvation. That's the good news that's coming here. And it began in Galilee, the Bible said. It started the fame of our God, the rumor of his ministry. It began in Galilee. The Bible said the Galilee of the Gentiles. That's Matthew 4 to fulfill Isaiah's word in Isaiah chapter number 9. And there's a direct quote from it. Those that are in the valley of the shadow of death is how he relates to the Galilee of the Gentiles. Isn't it an interesting thing that our Lord, who is of the seed of David, literally, whose parents, Joseph and Mary, both of them find their roots in Bethlehem because they are both of the house of David and the royal lineage of David. They both had to go register in the census in Luke chapter number 2 in Bethlehem, and it's called there the city of David. Isn't it an interesting thing that he is born in Bethlehem but does not live in Bethlehem? That's an inheritance for Judah, but he's not living there. He is in a place called Nazareth. And that is a prophetic fulfillment. According to Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, there are prophets that said this was going to happen. And it's not necessarily related to the literal name Nazareth, but to the meaning and the branch or Nazarite, separated one. Obviously, the scriptures literally call him the branch. That's what that word is what it means. And so if you're talking about prophetic fulfillment, him being born in Bethlehem, but living in Galilee and not just in Galilee and Nazareth, he's fulfilling some prophetic scripture that we're going to find is, I believe, very, very powerful. But here he is as the son of David and the son of Abraham. And as the son of David, there are times that he likens himself to Solomon, but he says a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon, yeah, Sheba came to hear his wisdom from the uttermost parts of the earth, but a greater than Solomon is here. Matter of fact, he said a greater than the temple is here in the same passage of scripture. And he said a greater than Jonah is here. Jonah, the prophet from Galilee. Jonah, the prophet from Galilee, who by a prophecy that we don't have access to, he prophesied there would be a restoration. And the restoration was that the land of Galilee and the rest of stolen property would be restored. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, 26 tells us of that fulfillment. And it was spoken by this prophet from Galilee. And that's an amazing thing, because a greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Jonah is here. And it was by a word from Jonah, everything that was lost inheritance-wise was restored. But here you've got a greater than the temple, and you've got a greater than Solomon. You know, it's an interesting thing. Solomon, he builds the temple. What a great thing. As he built the temple, he built his house. That summarizes the first, he starts building the temple in his fourth year, and then in 20 years he builds his house and he builds the Lord's house. Pretty amazing. And he didn't do it by his own might, obviously. He was given a gift of wisdom, the same wisdom that was given to Bezaleel of Judah when he made all the furniture for the tabernacle. It was given to Solomon. Solomon's got an unbelievable wisdom, and he's got an unbelievable eye for design and architecture. He is a builder. He talks about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. He built a whole house of forests. It's just a forest inside of a house. Just because he wanted to build it. He's got the greatest looking throne you can imagine, made of ivory. He's got so many. He made musical instruments. He wrote songs and proverbs. He's a builder. He's a designer. He is a creator. And so as he finishes the temple in his house, you're looking at what our God said about himself. What did he say about himself? He said, destroy this temple. He said, in 3 days I will raise it up. They said, you know, are you telling us this temple had taken 46 years to build? You're going to build it in 3 days? But the Bible said he wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about his body. But once that's raised up, that you're going to be now in that kind of realm where Solomon was, with the finished temple and the glory of the Lord filling that temple. A place for rest for the name of the Lord and for the Ark of the Covenant. But now in the resurrection, that's what we're looking at. We are looking at the completed spiritual temple. Destroy it, I'm going to raise it up. And we know that it's going to be something made without hands. The Bible said it's the true tent. It's the true tabernacle. Pitched in heaven. It's made without hands. Not of this creation. The Lord was doing something that I could not see and hear, could not hear, but it was something that had to be revealed. He was going to reveal it. And he told them exactly where I'm going to reveal it up. Meet me in Galilee. I want you to know when I'm resurrected, I'm going to beat you to Galilee. So this is the Passover night. And then the next is the High Sabbath, the 15th of the month. And then the next day, the 16th, is the Feast of First Fruits. That's where you would wave the first barley sheaf. And from there, you start to count 49 days or 7 Sabbaths building up to the day of Pentecost. And so this is where we are on this timeline. And so if you are believing that your Lord is raised in 3 days, and you are in Jerusalem, and it's going to be at least 3 days for you to travel to Galilee, it kind of seems to me like if the Lord says, I'm going to beat you to Galilee, then he's wanting you to go to Galilee. You know what you got to do to go to Galilee? You got to quit being Jewish. You got to quit celebrating the feast. You've got to stop having the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Interrupt it. Disobey it, if you will, and head out of town. And you got to move, and you got to go. And it's not just going to be a short trip that you can make on the Sabbath. You can't measure it based off of what you can travel on the Sabbath. It gives us what you can travel in Acts chapter number 1 on the Sabbath day, but it's not a biblical thing. It's what they came up with in their own laws, in their own traditions. But if you're going to Galilee, you better start booking it right now, because you don't have very long. You're at the end of day one. You're going to be only one full day, and then on that third day, he's coming up whenever he wants to come up. He's not staying 24, 24, and 24. It's a piece of this day and all of the next, and then it's going to be a piece of Sunday. And he's rising again on the third day. And he said, I'm going to beat you to Galilee. And it's not just I'm going to beat you to Galilee. That is exactly where you are going to see me. I'm choosing that place to reveal myself to you. What in the world are we talking about when we're talking about going to Galilee? Here we are in Jerusalem. Here's the other city of David, really the true city of David. Bethlehem wouldn't be the city of David as much as Jerusalem would be. The Bible in the Old Testament completely calls it the city of David. But look what happens here. On the day that we're celebrating the Palm Sunday, he goes in and leaves the church outside the gates of the temple, and then he is led on trial outside the gates of Jerusalem to be crucified. He's outside the gates of the temple, and he's outside the gates of the city. And ultimately, he is crucified, and then he goes through the gates of hell. I'm talking three gates, three enemies. You're talking about enemies that have been against God's people since Adam. And here is that son of Abraham. Here is that son of Abraham who's pictured like in this only begotten son, Isaac. And it's that revelation that we hear that your seed will possess the gate of his enemy. Singular enemy and singular gate. And the Bible talks about death being swallowed up in victory. And the Bible said that death is ultimately the last enemy. But death isn't by itself is an enemy. The scripture tells us that death, sin, and the law, they're all working together. It's the sting of sin is the or the sting of death is the is sin, and the strength is the law. You got an enemy called death. Sin leads to death. And what exposes sin is the law. The broken law is what is exposing. The Bible said he went outside the gates of the temple, and he went outside the gates of Jerusalem, and he's going through the gates of hell. And he had already told them, it will not prevail against the church I'm building. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. That's death. Shall not prevail against the church. Meet me, he said, in Galilee. He brought them. If you're going to follow him on that path, you're going outside the gates of the church, going outside the gates of that holy city. And now the Bible tells us he's buried in a borrowed tomb by a man, a rich man named Joseph, to fulfill Isaiah 53 and 9. And he's not staying there. He's going through death. His death produced resurrection for a bunch of old saints who the Bible said are walking around Jerusalem. That's a crazy moment when the old saints are walking around Jerusalem because their graves had been opened when he died. Oh, that's an amazing thing. And they started fake news the moment that he died, the priests, and now we're talking the law, now we're talking the preacher, now we're talking righteousness by the temple. They're the ones that come up with the lie. He did not come out of the grave himself. His disciples stole him. That's your word. That's what you'll say. We'll pay you to say that. And the Bible said it's said to this day. That's a common thing. No, his disciples stole his body. Who said that? The law said that. The law. I want you to know what he has brought them out of is more than just sin. He broke them out of an old covenant that was impossible to be righteous by because there is no Aaron priest anymore. Everything's been made political and corrupt. You don't have an Ark of the Covenant anymore. You don't have, if you don't have the Ark, you don't have a covenant. That tables of covenant are inside the ark, and so I'm meeting you in Galilee. Now the temple here, that body, the resurrection, we're talking about resurrection not from physical, but resurrection from eternal death. That's what his resurrection is. It's from eternal death. You die, but you're not all the way dead until the second death. And that's when you're cast into the lake of fire along with death. You're cast into the lake of fire along with Hades. You're cast into the lake of fire along with the devil and his angels. But that's the second death. That's what we're saved from already. That's where we aren't worried about judgment because we've already gone through eternal death into eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ being buried with him in baptism. And so that there's an establishment going on here. But meet me in Galilee. Now, I believe the moment the temple is finished, Brother Walker, and I've kind of made a long point getting here, but there's something that happens right after that, after his house is built and after the temple is built. The Bible says in 1 Kings 9 that he goes to the king of Tyre, his name's Hiram or Huram, and he gives him 20 cities of Galilee. Solomon does, to a Gentile king. He has no right to do that. This is not his power to do it. Number one, the Lord said, this is never your land, it's my land, you're strangers on it. And number two, you cannot give away somebody else's inheritance, you cannot remove your neighbor's landmarks. That's an abomination to our God. This is not Solomon's to give. And so it's an unrighteous, It's a literal no redemptive type of a move that Solomon is making where he's got no authority to do it and he gives it to a Gentile king. And the Bible said, so here he comes to look at his cities. And he said, they displease me. And guess what he called them? He called them Kabul, which means nothing. Actually, in the margin of this Bible here, it means dirty. They're trashy. You ever wonder where stuff like can any good thing come out of Nazareth starts? The Bible said it's said to this day, Kabul. There's a Gentile looking at what God gave his people, their inheritance. And he looks at it and he says, this is worthless. This is worthless. I want you to know, I believe there's a reason. All 11 of the apostles that our Lord begins with are from Galilee. The Bible said you can notice them by their accent. Simon Peter, he could not deny that he was from Galilee because they said, your speech betrays you. We hear that Galilean accent. These were people looked down upon because of their speech and declared to be ignorant. Where does that kind of stuff start at? Where do you start lying on the Bible and say to Nicodemus to intimidate him, are you from Galilee? Look, search it out. There is no prophet from Galilee. Jonah, most people think Elijah, some think Nahum. You know what Capernaum is the city of Nahum. That's what it means. So we're talking there is prophets from Galilee. But you start looking down on things. And when you start looking down on things, there's a reason for it. And the reason goes all the way back to this moment where a king looks at God's inheritance who has no right to it. He sees nothing of value in it. Have you ever had somebody say, why do you clap your hands in church? Have you ever gone to a Catholic church? Not to minimize anybody, but you got to minimize Catholic church. We're talking about dead from the beginning to the end. We're talking about no power whatsoever. Do you ever go up to a Catholic and say, why are you guys so stinking quiet? Why do you guys just sing off key all the time? Well, why is everything so depressing in this church? Why do you wear those? No, we don't. But people come to us, don't they? They come to the apostolic church. They say, all right, why do you guys dance or shout or worship? I come to your church. Why do you guys preach like that? Why do you say amen to preaching? Why do you guys go pray? Why do you sweat? Why do you guys do? And on and why do you guys believe for miracles? And why do you talk in tongues? Why do you this and why do you that? And it's God's inheritance, but it gets labeled by people that got no right to it. And when that labeling begins, the dangerous thing is it might not ever end. And by the time the Lord shows up, you might be saying stuff like, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I want you to know you're getting ready to see what can come out of Galilee, and you're getting ready to see what can come out of Nazareth. You're getting ready to see what it is when God turns his back on a city and he chooses a village. Praise God. I was reading it the other day. Isn't the Lord funny? He's very funny. And he tells when they start to try to intimidate him with Herod is got a death sentence out on you. And he says, go tell that fox. He starts to joke around. He says, oh, don't you worry. I'm going to Jerusalem because I cannot affect your reputation. He said, we can't let it be said that a prophet was killed anywhere but Jerusalem. Don't worry. I'm going there, so your reputation is going to be okay. No other city is going to steal your reputation. Believe me, we can't let it be said that a prophet's killed anywhere but your city. I'm talking about the Lord turning his back on a place. I'm talking about a Lord that turned his back in the New Testament on a place that we go visit today and we look at and we're enamored with it. And I want you to know the Lord's saying, this place here, it's left unto you desolate. This place here, I want you to know something. I'm beginning something here that's breaking out of here. And the Bible said we're going outside the gate of the city, outside the gate of this camp. Meet me in the worthless place. Meet me where nothing good can happen. Meet me. I'm choosing to do a work in a place everybody's written off. That's why you get no revelation in Jerusalem. That's disobedience. Amen. But who's going to be the first one to break this feast? You'd have to if you're going to obey the Lord. You will not get revelation in Jerusalem. He said, tell my brethren, if they want to see me, revelation, it's going to be in Galilee. Go ahead and tell them. You'll find me in Galilee. But he walks through a door and like, oh, it's a ghost. There's no revelation there. You don't find revelation. There's no revelation. The Bible tells us he first of all appeared to Simon Peter and then to the 12. And when you're reading John, you're reading about 10 people and then 11 people. Matthew, it's 11 people. When you're reading about these appearances inside of houses and places that are in Jerusalem, it's not the 12, it's 10 or it's 11, but it's not the 12. And there is no revelation. They just don't know it's him yet. And he comes again, they're all scared again. It's no revelation because you're not supposed to be here. If you really believed his words, you'd already be in Galilee. If you believed his words, you would have left what you were doing. You would have left the way you've always been doing church. And you would have made a move towards what the Lord's word said. And the Lord's word gave a promise to you. I will beat you to Galilee. And that's at least 3 days. So you better get moving now. But who in the world's going to make that first move? Not one of those disciples makes that move. Why? Because can any good thing come out of it? We're in Jerusalem, for goodness sake. This is the holy city, not no more. It's not the holy city anymore. It's going to be destroyed. He prophesied that. There's no holy city that gets destroyed. If the Lord calls it holy, it's separated unto him. And it's going to be destroyed, 70 AD. Get yourself to Galilee. Why are we going to Galilee? Well, Solomon, the Bible said in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse number 2, when those cities were restored to him. The Bible said he looks at them and he rebuilt them. It says built in the King James, but the word is rebuilt. I want you to know there's some things that only the eyes of God can see. And the same things that guy looks at and goes, this doesn't please me at all. It's worthless. Solomon looks at it in the eyes of God's wisdom. And he says, I got something here. I see potential here. I'm talking about the builder of the temple and the builder of that palace complex that's unbelievable in the scope and the things that he designed it. But he's looking at 20 cities somebody else called worthless. And he says, I'm going to rebuild these cities. I'm going to rebuild these cities. I see. There's some kind of an eye that he's got. The same kind of eye that Jesus Christ has when he's looking upon the Galileans who can't even talk right. What did the Lord say? The Lord said with stammering lips and another tongue. I want you to know you're not talking about the Assyrians in Isaiah chapter 28. You're talking about the Galileans, because the Bible said when they began to speak with other tongues, everybody that was around them were shocked, because they said, aren't these all that speak Galileans? They can't speak like this. They don't know this kind of a language. They don't have this kind of an accent. But our God was saying something, wasn't he? I'm done with Jerusalem. I'm done with how it's always been. I'm done with this religion. It was crucified along with my body. I'm going to do something in 11, can't talk, can't think, uneducated, unlearned, and ignorant men. And I'm going to blow this world up with 11 Galileans. Praise God. You call them worthless if you want to. I see something in Simon Peter. I see something in that fisherman you can't see. What did he say to him? He goes, you might be Simon right now. But he said, no, thou art Peter. He calls him Cephas. Thou art Cephas. Bible said being interpreted to stone. Not yet, but that's what I see you. I'm talking about barely even met the Lord. That's who I see. Son of Jonah. Isn't that kind of important? Son of Jonah. Bar Jonah, son of Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are also Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's the death that was conquered right there, eternal death. I never have to fear that again. I do not have a white throne judgment coming before me. I've got the judgment seat of Christ, and it's eternal judgment that's declared the people in Christ righteous. It's the spirits of just men that have been made perfect. You're talking about the church of the firstborn. I'll meet you in Galilee. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, I'm going to meet you in Sterling, Alaska. Praise God. What about Anchorage? What about whatever city you can think of? No. I'm coming to Sterling. But we got a stigma to Sterling. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? There ain't no prophet ever been in Galilee. It's worthless. Oh, yeah, that's what Gentiles say. That's not what the anointed king, son of David, says. I want you to know there's something getting ready to happen on a mountain I'm going to tell you of. Does that remind you of anything? Oh, yeah, Mount what? Let's talk about what? No, we're done with Jerusalem. You got to be done with Jerusalem. We're going to go to Mount. No. Who cares about the Temple Mount? Who cares about what's going on in Jerusalem? The Lord left it for a reason. The Lord left Jerusalem for a reason. Outside, we got no continuing city here. We've got a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, but it's not down here on earth. What Jerusalem is now is what Hagar was in the Old Testament. That's what Paul said. It's an old covenant. It's got no power anymore. What are you talking Jerusalem for? Meet me in Galilee. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 28, that's what the angel said. That's what the Lord said. They're repeating it over. Mark 16, repeating it over and over. Meet me in Galilee. And it's not until they finally do it and obey it and they get to Galilee. And the Bible said it's on the mountain. He said, I've appointed for you. On one of the mountains. I've appointed for you. I don't know. That kind of reminds me of some story. The son of Abraham. That's what it reminds me of. Because that it's on the mountain I'm going to tell you of. That Abraham walked up that mountain. And instead of seeing death, he saw life. Instead of seeing a lamb, he saw a ram. And the Bible said it just so happened to be caught in the branches. What did the Lord say about what Moses gave a revelation of when he's talking about the living God? He said in Luke chapter number 20, and the Bible said, didn't he tell you? Didn't you remember? Didn't Moses show you in the bush? I want you to know there's just revelation and revelation in the bush or the branch or whatever you want to say it. But it's going to be in Galilee. It's going to be the one from Nazareth. That's where you're going to find the substitute. And that's where you're going to find the Lamb of God. And that's where you're going to find whatever it is that the Lord's prepared for his people that he has got set up for you. It was a ram caught in the thicket. It's Jesus Christ unveiling himself on a mountaintop saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Praise God. Wasn't that Mount Sinai? No, he left that behind. That was the beginning. From that mountain, he looks over to Galilee. And he said, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Not this mountain, but on the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen or provided. But the word's literally seen. It shall be seen. And the Bible said, it's said to this day, on the mount of the Lord. Not this mountain, because this mountain's not the mountain of the Lord. As a matter of fact, we didn't even get the inside of what mountain it was that they went to. Neither do we know about Transfiguration or this mountain in Matthew 28. It's just one of those in Galilee. I want you to know I passed over Hermon, and I passed over Zion, and I passed over all the other ones, and I chose this one that only these 11 know about in this lowly place that everybody's forgot about and everybody's judgmental about. But the place where the Lord's ministry began and the place where it's going to continue, it's not starting in Jerusalem. It's beginning 40 days in Galilee where the Lord's revealing himself to his 11 apostles from Galilee. Praise God. Oh, my. I just believe we can wear a stigma. Yeah, you're not as fancy as some other churches. Right? Go knock doors in Sterling. See how that works out for you, brother. It's not like any other place. It's that place that people forgot about a long time. You don't even know it's a city when you're passing on through it. But the Lord, how many prophecies have come over this place? And all the Lord's looking for is somebody that said, all right, I'll meet you in Galilee. All right, I'm going to expect to see you in Galilee. I'm going to walk away from this unproductive, dead work religion, and I'm going to make a move towards Galilee. I'm going to begin to believe in Sterling, Alaska. All flesh can have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise God in Galilee. Meet me where nobody believes, even people from Galilee. Nathaniel's from Galilee. He ain't gonna say, come out of Nazareth. You're talking smack about your own place. It makes no sense, but it's a stigma that begins and you wear it a long time. Praise God. I'll bet you came to this church with labels from your past. I'll bet you some people spoke over you and said worthless. You want to know how sure God is it's going to work? The Bible said that when he got to Jerusalem, people began to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's the Palm Sunday we're celebrating today. And wonderful works began to happen. And the priests got mad at him because they heard children who were crying out and saying, Hosanna, blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. And our Lord said to those people, have you never read in the Psalm chapter number 8? Where the Bible said that God in the mouths of sucklings, babes and sucklings has perfected praise? They're probably like, no, we didn't read that because it said establish strength. That's what it actually says in Psalm chapter 8. He's founding strength for himself. But this is the same exact time that he said, if they didn't cry out, these rocks would. Because what I did is I made this a foundational, established thing. So when I get to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, if the kids choose to shut their mouth, rocks are going to start crying out. Because I made this a sure thing. I founded it. There will be praise, whether from a human or whether from a rock. And whenever the Lord said there's going to be a move of God in Sterling, Alaska, I want you to know that's an absolute sure thing. And somebody ought to just meet him there. Somebody ought to say, all right, I'm going to be brave enough to walk away from Jerusalem, to walk away from the Passover. I'm going to make a move. He's going to meet us there. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can't have a move of God in Ketchikan, Alaska. No way. You can't have a move of God in Ketchikan, Alaska. What are you talking about? You know all these port towns and how radical they are. It's like, have you ever been to Galilee? Have you ever seen what God did in port towns? Every one of those places is a port town on the Sea of Galilee. They're all fishing towns. And look at the move of God that went on in that place, the establishment of the apostolic faith and the apostolic believers. I want you to know infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Where were they given? Galilee. In Galilee, up to 500 people at one time got a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a decent amount of people, because I remember way back when people were looking down on Galilee of the Gentiles and say, these are the people that are living in the shadow of death, but not no more. Not when the resurrection and the life had been fully manifested and there's an eternal glory, a life-giving spirit being passed on to the people. I got a revelation of the Lamb of God. The Bible said, and I got it at the branch. It was held for me in Galilee, Nazareth. You understand what I'm saying? That caught in the thicket by his horns. Woo. That's what he said to him. He said, I got all authority. How much authority does that leave the devil? Let's play that game a little bit. So some authority. Oh, man, I love doing that. All authority. All authority. The Bible said even then some worship, some doubted. This isn't the revelation we're talking about. This is the beginning. Galilee's John 21. It's in Galilee that they've got that catch of fish, miraculous catch of fish. And he jumps out of the boat. Simon Peter does and swims to the shore. It's there that the Lord has called them children. And it's there that the Lord's already got fish cooking on the fire. Just showed up, but somehow he's got fish. He gave them a miraculous catch of fish, and nobody even asked who he was. They all knew it was the Lord. Everything's changing now. And the Lord said to Simon Peter, when Simon Peter looked at John, said, what's he going to do? Here's what the Lord said about his authority. He said, if I want him to live until I come, what's that to you? Well, that's how much power death's got. John the apostle could be alive today if the Lord said, I want that to happen. Think about that. 2,000 years later, good old John could be preaching in Jerusalem or somewhere around Israel, celebrating in Tel Aviv, whatever. He said, if I want him to live forever, he's going to live forever. That's the same thing with the Lord saying, if I want somebody to stay alive in 5-degree weather all night long, before anybody's even had a chance to pray for him. Dying before anybody's got a chance to pray for him if the Lord's not there. But the Lord says, watch what I'm going to do in Sterling, Alaska. I wonder if there's anywhere other than Sterling, Alaska that's got that kind of a miracle report. That somebody stayed alive that was wet and they were drained so bad that they were going blind. And that's how you start the night. Worn out, losing your sight, freezing cold, gloves got holes in them. A little pansy coat he's got on, little skinny coat I meant. Got little, he had nothing that would keep you alive. Nothing at all. Except the Lord said, watch what I'm going to do here in Sterling, Alaska. Watch what I'm going to do here in Galilee. Somebody needs to meet me in Galilee. Somebody needs to leave Jerusalem. Somebody needs to believe. You mean to tell me it's going to begin in our city? You mean to tell me? Because that's what it really is. That's what it really boils down to. I believe you can do it over here in that city or Louisiana. And I believe you can do it. You name a city that you believe for, Stockton, whatever. But do you believe it for Sterling? Do you believe it for Ketchikan? Do you really believe that this time God's going to meet you there? Do you really believe that this time there's a rebuilding that the Lord's, I am going to make something of what everyone's calling worthless? Woo! Praise God. Oh, there's something about when somebody starts to buy in to God's got my place in mind. God wants me to have a revival in my house. God wants me to meet him. Meet me in Galilee, he said. Woo! Praise God. I'm done. Meet me in Galilee. Goodness. I love that. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's what the nobleman did, though, didn't he? Your son's healed. Can I get your signature on a piece of paper saying that's true? Is there any evidence you'd like to give me? Your son's healed. You don't got the time to come back and get me if he's not. The Bible said he just turns around and goes. Meet me in Galilee. Meet me in Galilee. Oh, it's going to be a little bit of a walk of nothing. But he's going to be there when you get there. It's going to be a little bit of walk of nothing. And you're walking into that neighborhood and so dot and going, how many times have we done this? I just feel the Holy Ghost is leading me this time. And it's a little bit of nothing before you get there. But there's got to be people that start believing he's going to meet me in Galilee. From this moment on, he's going to meet me in Galilee. It's not Jerusalem. It's not the place I've always thought it was going to be. It's not the city that's got a history. It's the place everybody gave up on it, called worthless. And God said, I'm starting over there. I'm a Nazarene from Nazareth. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's nobody that says that about Simon Peter when he preaches. Something happens to his speech. Have you ever read that message he preaches in Acts chapter 2 and thought to yourself, how in the world? I mean, we're talking scrolls are scarce. Scrolls are scarce, let alone Revelation. And he's quoting from multiple places. And he's given declarations with authority. And he tells them about Jesus of Nazareth. That's what the sign said. You crucified Jesus of Nazareth. But let me tell you who the stone that the builders rejected is. He tells them, I'll tell you, the problem is with you builders is you said he's worthless. When you reject a stone, it's worthless. Doesn't work for us. He said he was the stone rejected of you builders. He didn't say that in Psalms, the builders. But you builders, what Peter said. That's boldness. He's saying that to the government of Israel. You builders rejected him because he's worthless, right? Guess who he's become? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the chief cornerstone. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You crucified Jesus of Nazareth. Let me introduce you to the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he begins to preach. And the Bible tells us there is such a boldness on him and John that there's literally nothing they can say about it. Praise God. I said, I don't got no silver and I don't have any gold. But he said, such as I have, give I you. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Would the Bible say born that way, born lame? And immediately, the scripture said his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, he stood. He began to dance with Simon Peter and John and began to rejoice with Simon Peter and John. And with one miracle in the name of Jesus Christ from nowhere, there's 5,000 men that become believers in one moment there in Acts chapter number 4. Oh, that's a name from nowhere, isn't it? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Who's saying that? Israel's saying that. And it's being turned around upon all of the idolatrous Jews. Because the moment God's done with something, it's now idolatry. Old covenant's over. And they hate him and they still hate him and everybody hates him. But it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth that made this one rise up. Oh, are you asking us by what power and by what authority this man's made whole? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh man, quit saying Nazareth for goodness sake. Let's talk about Jerusalem. Let's talk about at least Bethany, sir. Let's talk about one of these great cities. No, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How about we talk about the miracles that began in Cana in the middle of nowhere, a place called Reeds, because that's how important it was. And God begins to do unbelievable miracles in Capernaum and in Cana, because that's Galilee. And that's what he's come to do. He's come to lift up the downcast and the downtrodden. He's come to push down those that are high and lofty. And he's raising up people. The Bible didn't just say people, beggars. He's raising up beggars from the dust, he's raising them up from the ash pile. He's lifting them up. Who is it? Simon Peter's who it is. You're talking about John is who it is. Oh, yeah. What kind of job? No, nobody said fisherman. Because fishermen stink like fish. Praise God. But the Lord looks at something and he says, I'm going to rebuild you. I'm going to rebuild you into something. I want you to know the only fisherman, Simon Peter, nobody else is preaching from that 11. Just Simon Peter. No other one of those 11 you read about preaching in the book of Acts. He said, God chose by my mouth. In the beginning, you remember, he chose by my mouth. Gentiles would hear and believe. You got Simon Peter, who's the one preaching. Because the Lord said, I see something I can make a fisherman. I'm just talking to people here who've given up on themselves. Like, can God do something with this? Can God do something with this? Can't there really, with people getting older in Sterling, Alaska, are we past our moment? Think about that. A lot of people in the 70s don't have the energy you used to have. What you need to do is get your nose in the Hebrews chapter 11 and read about dead people having babies. Read about Joseph as he was dying. By faith he commanded concerning his bones. Don't you dare. The Bible said he commanded Exodus. He created Exodus, in other words, the book of Exodus. He spoke Exodus. He talked about the leaving and he said concerning his bones, don't leave me. When was he? When he was 30 or 40 or no, when he was dying. As Jacob's leaning on that staff, crosses his hands and blesses both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff as he was dying by faith. That's what you need to get a hold of. It's not your strength. You don't need it. It's not your might. You don't need it. I'm talking about God doing unbelievable things in a place called Galilee. If people show up there, if people really believe, I can find him here. He's coming to this place. You mean to tell me we don't need an evangelist? We just need faith. God's going to meet me in Galilee. Woo! Oh, if he was going to meet me, I'd be looking for him, wouldn't you? I'd be going there, wouldn't you? I'd be expecting him somewhere. Oh, yeah. Praise God. You know that massive, awesome tour that people have to go view Galilee? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, back to Jerusalem. Meet me in Galilee. Where do you live at? Where do you live? Ketchikan, Alaska. Sterling, Alaska. Lord, said, I'm meeting you where you live. Can you imagine God overlooking your city and saying, let's just start in Jerusalem? The revelation of Jesus Christ starts in Galilee. 40 days, infallible proofs. There's a move of God going on in Sterling, Alaska. Oh, you mean with all the mess going on? Yeah, yeah, I do. Definitely do. You mean with all the junk going on, that doesn't stop God? It's never stopped God. You just forgot how God looks at you because you've been letting other eyes look at you and other labels come on you. Praise God. You can have it back. That's what the king of Tyre said. You know what Acts chapter 12 says? It says they were nice to Herod, he's over Galilee. They're nice to Herod, the people of Tyre and Sidon. This is 12:21, I believe, of Acts. So they are very nice to Herod, even though they don't like him. Because they are absolutely reliant on Galilee for all of their produce. Oh, it's nothing. Yeah, wait a little while, king of Tyre. You cut some trees down, they're planting seeds. You just wait a little while. That ground's getting ready to turn into a harvest field that's going to feed your country. You'll be relying on that place that you say is nothing. Oh, it's worthless. I bet you if you start planting something here in Sterling, not something of it's over. Not something of it could never be there. Not something of what about our mountains? They're so little. No. God chose this place. Praise God. Can you imagine any other reason for uprooting Pastor Mitch and Alicia Glover from Ketchikan, Alaska? The only born in Alaska preacher to be licensed in that first generation. The only native Alaskan preacher to be licensed. In that generation now, it's all offspring of that generation. You think he sent him from Ketchikan, Alaska to Sterling for no reason? He said, I'm going to send you there for no reason at all. No, he said, I'm going to meet you there. No, you understand, I plan on planting churches all over Alaska. God said, well, that's not my plan because I planned on meeting you in Sterling. So that plan never happens. That was the original plan. Thank goodness it never happened. Yeah, we're going to Kodiak and then Kotzebue, praise God, and then we're going to wherever. I'm glad it stopped in Sterling, but I know why it stopped in Sterling. He said, I'm going to meet you here. Hey, Sister Nichols, what in the world are you doing down here? What are you doing here, Mitch? I thought you were Eagle River people. Why don't we go down the list here? Come on, Oregon, up here. What are you talking about? How in the world do the Denny's end up here? You get kicked out of your home, Sister Denny, and then you end up here? I thought, number one, I thought you were Kenai people anyway. Brother Alex, you're from, the Duns know you from Alaska or Anchorage. They know the Villas from Anchorage. What are you doing down here? I bet you there's a meeting going on. I bet you God said, I've chosen the most unlikely place, and I'm ready to use the most unlikely people. How many preachers we have in this church? I say it's about time we start believing the word we're preaching. We got enough teachers and preachers in this church. Pound for pound, you got more than any. What if you just started believing what you were preaching? To the point where you're like, without a doubt, he's meeting us here. I mean, it's a faith switch when you start making a move and you're walking in nothing, but you're like, I'm going to call my friends and tell them I'm on my way to Galilee. Got no plans of going anywhere else because God said he was going to meet me in Sterling, Alaska. There's a little mountain somewhere where revelation of Jesus Christ is coming. Oh, there's such resurrection. God can keep somebody alive for all night long in 5-degree weather. You talk about power. You talk about life. Praise God. I've been declaring Mike Glover healed for so long. And I preached the other day and I prophesied into the microphone. I said, well, God, why don't you transfer him here so I can lay hands on him? I'm about sick and tired of him being sick. From head to toe, and I don't believe God gets glory and infusions and everything else that has to happen for life to come into a frame right here. That's why I believe God's meeting me in Galilee. Ted Taylor said, hey, Dad, don't worry about it. Whenever you see Mike for the first time and you touch him, he's going to be healed. We've been believing that ever since. I spoke in the microphone. I thought it happened then, and I believed it would happen when I touched him, and I don't know what's happening because that's how our God works. He speaks to a root, and it begins to dry up the whole tree, and you don't know it until it's dried up because he begins it under the surface. But somewhere, you've got to believe God gave me a word. He's meeting me in Galilee, and I believe the miracle I've been praying for is absolutely gonna happen. If the kids don't cry out, these rocks will cry out, because it made it established. It has to happen somehow. Woo! That's why I believe in Sterling, Alaska. Oh, there's a glory here. I know I'm preaching way too long, so I'm gonna stop. I'm just wanting to get somebody to start getting hyped up about it. Woo. I know you're faithful. Oh, I know you're faithful. Isn't there just something, though, about somebody who's been praying and fasting? And their moment comes. And they come in that instant. Anna came in that instant. She'd been praying. The Bible said that Simeon, he's one of those waiting for the kingdom of God. The Holy Ghost said, why don't you go into the temple right now? And the Bible said he went into the temple. Nobody introduced the Savior of the world to him. He saw a baby. But he didn't see a baby. He saw the Lord's Christ. He didn't ask permission. He didn't say, hey, ma'am, can I grab your baby? No, the Bible said he grabbed that baby. And he's like, all right, Lord, I'm ready to go now. You said the moment I see the Lord's Christ, I can die in peace. I'm ready because I've seen it. What are you talking about? That's a baby. No, that's Galilee. That's Sterling, Alaska is what that is. That's before it looks like what it is. And the Holy Ghost tells you, and you know for a fact, this is what I've been waiting for. This is the moment I've been on planet Earth for. This right now in 2024, getting into summer. Oh, somebody, you ought to get ready for the campground. You ought to get ready for a building program. You ought to get ready for the power of God to be on demonstration levels like you've never seen before. Shalabaramakasata. Stand with me, please. Meet me in Galilee. Oh, meet me in Galilee. My goodness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that felt like? When they realized God chose our place to manifest himself. He chose to live with us. When you talk about who he dwelt with us. It's called the Galilee of the Gentiles because it's no longer of the Israelites. It's a lost inheritance. But here comes the Lord, moving north. I'm moving to Galilee. It's worthless. It's worthless. No. Whew. Why don't you close your eyes? Meet me in Galilee. Meet me. Yeah. Oh, God. Hitaba siho shebarata. Iba tabo sebratus. Sukatabara. Pialdoro sitarabo. Oh, God. Meet me in Galilee, Christ. Oh, God, let the
to be a surge of faith here, Jesus Christ. Ooh, shakotabasi. Sitobo sorobo torita basi. Hasin de akarabasi toromorotos. Peliandrobosi la baramaranda. Oh, sitobosi. Ele marata baramarata basarindrobosi.
He's chosen you. You didn't choose him. He chose you, and he chose your place, and he chose your time. And it's time for you to accept that fact. It's time for you to accept that fact. He's got you here as his 11 apostles to reach this place. That you're the new Simon Peter, and you're the new John, and you're the new Mary Magdalene, and you're the new people of God. But don't think you're here by accident. You're here by choice, handpicked by God in Ketchikan, handpicked by God in Sterling, handpicked by God in Spokane. You've got to believe that you're here because God said you are the reason this place has got hope. I'm going to lose something through you. I'm going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you in that place. Woo! Take me downtown Ketchikan. Take me downtown into the... Take me to the docks in Ketchikan and watch the glory of God show up in a mighty, mighty way. Let the Holy Ghost start flowing down Swanson River Road. Let it get in this highway here. I believe there's a revolution coming to the minds of God's people. This is happening. It's happening without a doubt. It's happening. I believe it's happening now, and it's coming through me. It's coming through you. But without a doubt, God's established it, and it's going to happen. You will have a revelation of Jesus Christ wash over this place before it's all said and done. Meet me in Galilee, not Anchorage. Meet me in Galilee. Not so done. Meet me in Galilee. I want to meet you in Ketchikan. I want to meet you. Sharabaraba kasarabarata. Romoso koramarato bositos. Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Lord. He doesn't need talent, does he? He doesn't need abilities and money and nice buildings. He needs faith is what he needs. He needs believers is what he needs. He needs people willing to meet him. He needs people expecting to see him in Sterling, Alaska. Expecting to see him in Three Bears. Pasatarabha. Oh, he's in the woods in Sterling, Alaska. You better know he's in the city. If he's in the woods in Sterling, Alaska, you better know he's in the neighborhoods in this place. Karamasakoramasaya. Rikosi. That's the only holdup. That could be the only holdup. You got to walk away from Jerusalem. Walk away from how you think it's going to be. Walk away from how you think it's going to happen. And just get into the where God said he was going to meet you. That's all. That's all that's required is meet him. Jesus Christ.